Welcome to the You Love and You Learn podcast, the place to learn about all things love, relationships, relationship anxiety, and to deconstruct the one-size-fits-all narrative of what it means to be in a happy relationship. I'm your host, Sarah Yudkin, a relationship anxiety coach who's on a mission to discuss the nuances of love and relationships that I wish someone would have shared with me years ago. My goal with each episode is for you to leave with an expanded definition of love and relationships and with practices to carry with you in your life and relationships on a day-to-day basis. I'm so grateful to have you here. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm excited to be chatting with you today about a topic that I think is really important, and it's a little bit sneaky, and it shows up in a lot of our relationships and in life. And so I just want to dive into it and talk about what it means when we are projecting in a relationship, what it means to project, and how this can actually be something that teaches us a lot about ourselves if we are willing to see it as a lesson or a learning opportunity. So the concept of projection originated with Sigmund Freud and has been referred to as when we see the self in the other. So seeing something about ourself in another, whether it's another person or something that's going on. So we are taking something internally about ourselves and observing it in someone or something else. So whether it's something we lack and then notice in someone else, it could be something that we have and someone else seemingly lacks. It could be something that bothers us when we notice it in somebody else, but we don't want to acknowledge it within ourselves. Could be something that we believe deeply about the world or about a person or about anything, and then someone else's behaviors trigger our own beliefs about how the world should or shouldn't be. So it's really an opportunity to just understand ourselves better by getting things mirrored back to us by other people. But we don't always look at it as an opportunity or as something that can be helpful. And sometimes it can be looked at as doing something bad or wrong. And that is because projection has been said to function as a psychological defense against painful inner states. So when we are projecting, and I think if we hear about it and see someone talking about projecting on social media or this person was projecting, it maybe is looked at as always a bad thing. And sometimes we might then be feeling bad that we are projecting. But in this episode, I want to invite you to think of it in a different way, something that can actually be helpful and an invitation to help you grow. The reason why projection has basically been deemed as a defense against painful internal states or a protective mechanism is because it can be painful to look at who we are as a whole in full. The good, the bad, the ugly, as the expression goes. And it can also be painful to perceive that somebody else has something that we don't. So whether it's a positive projection where we're looking at someone else and seeing like really good qualities and maybe not feeling like we have those, or maybe it is a seemingly, quote, negative projection where we are judging something about someone else and we don't want to explore it internally. And the reason why we do project is because we are subconsciously, not necessarily intentionally, but subconsciously avoiding looking in the proverbial mirror, and we're instead noticing things externally more easily. So let me give some personal examples here. I'll start with some ones from me in my own life and relationship, but also some that I've seen with clients. One example that I gave recently in a newsletter that I sent out was that I used to notice Nate being messy so much, or my definition of what messy is. And this, it still comes up. It's not like I have never noticed it lately, but it was almost like I used to be fixated on this. So there were plenty of times where I was guilty of thinking Nate was too messy, and I've let him know that he was too messy or criticized what he was doing. But the ironic part is that I myself have times where I'm messy or disorganized. Like, I will be very transparent about that. There's times where I don't feel like putting things away right away, or times where I've been more cluttered, or times where I've been somewhat lazy about my living spaces. There are times when I don't perfectly clean up after I cook or anything like that, or maybe where I put clean clothes folded, but they're like on top of my hamper or sprawled out places. There's stuff that I do that it's messy, right? It's not perfect. The stuff on my bathroom sink, there's plenty of examples I could give. But if I am noticing and fixating on all the ways that Nate is messy, this would be me basically projecting a quality that I also have, which is messiness, onto Nate and making it seem bad for him, but not necessarily acknowledging it within myself. And it's really, again, like easy to notice somebody else's mess, but it's far harder to actually look internally at our own mess. So that would be an example where I'm projecting. Another example would be us being the same height. And actually, this was so interesting to me. As I was preparing for this episode, I had never even fully thought about it in this way to this extent, but it makes so much sense after I was really slowing down to think about it, which is that something that used to bother me so much was, and this was actually one of the first things I noticed about me and Nate, was, okay, he's really cute, like I'm attracted to him, but we're the same height. This actually, if I was pausing to slow down and observe myself, okay, what is this teaching me about myself, which I was not doing, of course, but if I had been slowing down, this is actually helpful information for me because Nate and his height is mirroring back something to me. It's reflecting back my own beliefs about the world and how tall a partner should be or how couples should be in a relationship height-wise, how my partner should look. And another thing that's just so interesting about this is Nate is confident and secure about himself and his height and his appearance and everything and our height together. I mean, sure, we've talked about sometimes, oh, like there's been times where he's stood on like a slightly inclined step and he's like, oh, this could be nice if I was this tall, but it's not something he spends hardly any time thinking about. But him being so secure and him just being perfectly fine is actually mirroring back to me my own lack of confidence about his height and about our height. It has nothing to do with Nate and everything to do with me. When I notice these things about him or about us as a couple, it mirrors back to me how I think and feel about the world. And to further expand on this example, another common way projection happens is with appearance as a whole. And I will be the first to raise my hand and say that I've had insecurities about my appearance growing up, and I can definitely still get caught up in them at times. I've definitely improved, but there were plenty of times growing up where I felt ugly or like other people were way prettier than me. And, you know, there's still times where I can fixate in comparing my looks to other people's looks around me. We can really be our own harshest critic at times. I'm sure many people can relate that are listening. But appearance especially is a big category where this happens. And if we're not mindful of this, we can project our fixation on appearance onto our partner. Are they attractive enough? They don't look attractive right now. They're not my type. All of these thoughts are simply information. Information that lets you know that as it stands right now, attraction is something that you believe is very important and very significant just as a whole, whether it's towards another person or as a way to decide if you're good enough. Like, my attraction deems me to be good enough in the eyes of other people. So I need to make sure that I'm not only attractive, but that other people are attractive that I associate with. So if we slow down for a second and look at this as a projection, then we can see that not feeling attractive enough can be something that we then project onto other people. So if I am out and about and I compare my appearance to other women and feel like they are prettier than me, this is actually me projecting my own lack of confidence in my appearance onto them. Because if I was totally confident in my appearance and I was just like, well, everyone's beautiful, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, we're all unique, we all have different appearances, but there's not necessarily good or bad, right or wrong. If I felt secure and confident about my looks in that way, then I could admire somebody else's beauty and not necessarily feel I'm worse off than them. It wouldn't be necessarily competitive. It would just be more observing. And it can be the same thing with our partners. If we're constantly comparing someone else's appearance as better or worse, like, oh, my partner isn't as attractive as this person or whatever it is, then perhaps we hold beliefs that says there is a right way to look or a wrong way to look and that it's better to look this way or this type of person is good or bad, right or wrong based on their appearances. And we get to decide, does this feel helpful or not? It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to judge about yourself. We've been conditioned to have certain sets of beliefs on certain things. So none of this, as you're listening, is something that you should feel, oh my gosh, I'm projecting this. I'm so bad. I'm doing something wrong. It's simply an invitation to understand how you think and how you operate in the world and decide, do I want to continue thinking and operating in the world from this way? And if not, maybe, okay, I can slow down and pause and try to make some gradual shifts in how I'm showing up. Here are some more examples that have come up with my clients before. So I have had many clients, this has been a big theme and something that I've definitely done before too, but definitely has been a big theme amongst my clients where they're analyzing their partners a lot, where they're out with friends and constantly worrying, what does this person think about my partner? What do they think about my partner? And just kind of like really being up in their head when they're having experiences in a group with their partner. And really, if they're constantly wondering if my partner is good enough, are they good enough or not, that can often be a projection of, am I good enough? Which is something that would be really painful to acknowledge that we worry about. We don't want to necessarily go around in the world thinking about, oh, I'm actually coming from a place of not always feeling good enough about myself. We don't want to necessarily think like that because that's painful to realize that we worry about being good enough or not. It's painful to have to face that and then to have to do something about that if it's causing challenges in our life. But what that ends up doing to us, of course, unintentionally, is if we're so worried about being good enough, then it's very easy to project that outwardly onto people we associate with. And it makes sense why we do this. Focusing on the ways that our partner's not good enough, or this coworker's not good enough, or this situation is not good enough, that is a distraction essentially, is taking away the pressure of ourselves to turn and face this fear of I'm not good enough. And by association, if we're spending time with certain people or certain experiences that are associated with us, if we don't feel good enough, then everything around us is then a sign that we're not good enough. It's just further proof if that's the belief that we are carrying in the world. So if we did not worry about being good enough, which I think is, you know, in some regard, worrying if you're good enough and doing something right, some of that is part of being human. But if it's really affecting how we show up consistently and we're constantly worrying if we're doing something good enough, or is this right? I need to make sure that I'm doing this right. Or if we're constantly prioritizing other people's above our own, like, does this person think I'm good enough? And does this person think I'm doing the right thing? If we didn't worry about those things so much, then we wouldn't necessarily feel the need to prove our partner was good enough towards other people. We would feel much more confident about our choice in partner because it was coming from our own confidence and confidence in ourselves, and thus confidence in our partner. So it just makes a lot of sense why the opposite is also true. If we don't feel good enough, then we're going to worry about if our partner is good enough and question other people's opinions about it. So all of this to say, yes, it's still important to have your partner show up in ways that you can respect. This isn't to say that you just should never care about what your partner's doing in a group, or that you should never care about other people's opinions about anything. But if you constantly find yourself scanning, you know, behaviors, appearance, how your partner is showing up, it may be a little bit more to do with how other people perceive you. Just something to keep in mind, reflect on, think if it resonates with you, and just sit with it for a bit. Another example of projection that has come up with my clients is wondering if their partner is intelligent enough, spiritual enough, anything like that. Are they this enough? And the way that this could be a projection is because it also is something that reflects back to us the beliefs we hold about ourselves. If we think that we have to be intelligent enough or spiritual enough to prove something to ourselves, or to prove something to other people, like if I'm intelligent, then that means I'm good enough. Or if I'm spiritual, then that means I'm good enough. I'm doing the right thing. That still teaches us something about how we see the world and how we see ourselves. And our partner may not have these same expectations of themselves or others at all. And so instead of questioning if the expectations of ourselves or others are helpful, it's easy to think, oh, well, my partner is just doing something wrong. Like, they're not intelligent enough. They're not spiritual enough, whatever it is. But what the invitation is actually to question, are these expectations that we have about others in the world around us, are those helpful? Are they setting us up for success? Are they setting us up to have compassionate, empathetic relationships with ourselves and with other people? When we get irritated at our partner's, let's say, selfishness or laziness, we are observing their selfishness or laziness, but most often our irritation is a result of us not owning our selfishness or laziness. So whatever qualities, whether it's not being intelligent enough, being lazy, being selfish, not being spiritual enough, not being attractive enough, whatever it is, we all hold qualities and parts to a certain degree just by being human. I have parts of me that are selfish. I have parts of me that are lazy. I have parts of me that are not intelligent. I have parts of me that are not spiritual enough or doing the work enough. I have parts of me that are not attractive of even my own standards, which, again, that could just mean I have some more love and compassion to give myself. But there are plenty of times where I am not looking like Angelina Jolie, and that's not my expectation anyway. But like, I roll out of bed, Nate and I joke that I have George Washington hair. Like, that's so normal. And so if I don't accept those parts of me that are not always looking or feeling my best, then how am I supposed to accept that in Nate or others? So I'm assuming if you are listening to this and you are just being candid and transparent with yourself, you would acknowledge that you have all of these parts of yourself, right? And those things are not bad. We are all mirrors of each other, but the things that are getting mirrored back to us are not necessarily bad or wrong. They're just parts of being human. But if we perceive these things as bad, if we perceive these things as wrong, and we try to shut these parts of ourselves down, then we will be more likely to judge them in another person. Now, I'm not here to say that this doesn't necessarily apply to abusive behavior. I'm not necessarily saying, oh, if there's abusive behavior happening, then it's mirroring back to you your own abusiveness. That's not really what I'm talking about here. But let's say that someone has a quality of anger, or someone has a quality of being mean or rude. Somewhere inside us, there are times where we are capable of being rude or mean. Maybe we don't choose to act on those things as often, but pretending that there is no part of us that could ever have anything rude or mean to think or say is making it, again, shutting down a part of ourselves that could be very human and very normal. So this is why understanding projection can be very useful, because it can be such a big teacher for us. If we're willing to pull the curtain back and understand what's happening, it's a big opportunity for us to learn more about ourselves. So going back to that messiness example I gave earlier with me and Nate, if and when I observe Nate being messy, that is an invitation or an opportunity to explore my own relationship with mess and messiness. What do I make it mean if I think someone is messy? Do I make it mean that they're lazy? Do I make it mean that they're disrespectful? Do I make it mean that they're irresponsible? If so, that's really helpful information to understand, because then it makes sense why I would judge that so much, not only in other people, but maybe why I might judge it in myself. Other questions I could ask: can I acknowledge where I too am messy? What is my relationship with my own tendency to be messy sometimes? Do I judge this part of myself? Do I accept it? Are the beliefs that I hold about messiness helpful or unhelpful? Are the beliefs about messiness rigid and black and white, like you can either be messy or clean, no in between? Do I have anywhere in my own life where I might want to shift patterns with mess or messiness? Not necessarily to make them better or fix something, but are there any places where I want to shift my patterns with mess or messiness? Or maybe do I want to be a little bit more flexible with myself and with other people for having messiness? So those types of questions are ways that we can really slow down and reflect on the situation. And maybe we're not going to slow down and reflect in that moment, but when we have a little bit of space from a situation, it can be so helpful to pause and look back like, oh, I can see how that played out. I can see why that was happening a little bit. I was working with a coach and therapist who helped me understand trauma better. I did a short trauma-informed certification and something I definitely want to explore more in the future too. But I remember her saying, projection is not something that you necessarily can control, but it's something that you can understand and go back and understand what happened. Because we can't control our thoughts and our feelings. Those just happen. We can control the way that we respond to our thoughts and feelings. So projection is going to happen. It's going to happen, but the way that you respond to that projection, do you slow down and try to understand it? Do you take ownership of it? Or do you stay in a blaming spot where it's like, this is all about my partner and has nothing to do with me? So projection, again, is not a bad thing. It's just a tool or a mechanism that we can then use to look back on better understanding ourselves. A way to signal that there could be a projection happening, it's not necessarily always a projection at play, but it could be a projection if we are having a strong emotional reaction to something, because that is often a sign that there's something going on with us internally to better understand. One thing I also wanted to add to this conversation too is that projection can also apply in a more positive way too. So we can project positive qualities onto another person and kind of forget that this person is human and maybe put them on a pedestal. So like, this person is better than me and I am worse than them, and maybe putting this person again like on this pedestal of being so great. But actually, we have the positive qualities within us too, and maybe we just have disowned these or not fully embraced these positive qualities within us. So seeing someone, for example, who is really confident and admiring this about them, this is them mirroring something back to us. And maybe we just haven't fully tapped into our own confidence. We may not have fully embodied this quality before, but it's absolutely something that we possess and is in us, and it may need just a little bit more practice, a little bit more strengthening of that quality. So there's kind of a couple ways that this could play out. We can see someone who's really confident and really admire that about them, but maybe it's in a self-deprecating way. It's like, okay, wow, that person is so confident. I could never be like that. And this diminishes how capable we really are. Or on the flip side, we could judge that about them and say, well, that person is just way too cocky. They're too confident. When actually, we really would love to be a little bit more confident in ourselves. So that's kind of two different ways that we can react to a projection if we're not aware that it is a projection. But there's a different way, which is just admiring and honoring that this person has a quality that I also could have, I also could possess or cultivate within myself. And that not only does this person have positive qualities and I do too, but this person also has more challenging qualities, which I do too. So that's kind of a more middle ground path, which is to see all people as human, all people as having both positive and less positive attributes, and not even negative things, but just things that are more challenging or quirks or things that are not always as like easy to navigate. We all have those things as part of being human. So as I've shared now a few times, this is why it can be a really big learning opportunity and a way that we can better understand ourselves. And so projection is really a blessing in disguise in many ways. The simple act of noticing someone else's pattern really teaches us a lot about ourselves if we slow down to observe it curiously. Not from a place of judgment, not from a place of like, oh, I can't believe I did that, but really just getting curious and looking for the lesson. Because it's easy to observe like everything else about someone else, but a little bit harder and sometimes painful or intimidating to actually look at our own beliefs and looking at the ways that we are contributing to a dynamic or a pattern or something in our life. So when we're willing to unpack these beliefs, when we're willing to unpack the patterns that we have and decide if they are helpful or unhelpful to our life, then it's a beautiful thing. So really, everything in our life is a mirror. People especially are our biggest mirrors, and it's up to us to decide if we want to explore what is being reflected back to us. To wrap this up, just a few ways to kind of navigate projection, summarizing what I've shared, and then I'm going to give you some prompts that you can use to gain more awareness about yourself and noticing how you are showing up in certain moments. So really, to navigate projection, it's not this perfect recipe, but just some kind of basics at a high level. if you want to better understand when you're projecting or understand projections, taking time to slow down and notice when you are emotionally charged by something. Simply being aware, that thing really affected me, or I had a really strong reaction to that, or something came up for me. Then, as best as possible, instead of trying to dissect it and understand it in that moment, the next step is really to take time to slow down a bit and get grounded as best as possible. So for me, some of the basics are breath or movement. I know these things almost sound so simple, but how often do we feel overactivated by something or dysregulated by something, maybe emotionally charged, and we try to just kind of think our way out of it or figure it out? It is a superpower to actually pause and take some time to breathe until your heart rate slows down, or go out for a walk and actually focus on looking at what is going on around you versus bringing your phone and scrolling more. It is such a superpower. And I know it's easier said than done, but something that is a huge practice of mine is actually stepping away when I'm feeling activated from the situation and not necessarily having to figure it all out right then. And then the final step would be to build more self-awareness around projection is taking the time, once you've gotten a little bit more grounded or taken some time to soothe a bit, is to reflect about if you might be projecting and if there might be a lesson there. So the way to do that could be through some of these prompts that I'm about to share with you. Feel free to write them down, save them in a journal to use in the future, or you could pop them in a note in your phone if you ever want to just keep these top of mind. But these journal prompts can help you turn projections into opportunities for growth. So there are six of them. The first is, what do I most commonly judge in other people? The second is, where do I also have this quality within me? The third is, if I were to practice self-compassion for this quality in myself and compassion for this quality in others, what might I remind myself of? The fourth is, what do I most commonly admire in other people? The fifth question is, where do I also have this quality within me? And the final question is, if I were to embody more of this quality, what specific actions would I take? So if you need to go back and listen to those questions, they can be really helpful actually to just proactively reflect and think about, but they can also be helpful in the moment if you're slowing down. Let's say there was a quality that you were judging about your partner, you could actually slow down and check in, okay, what quality am I judging right now? Where do I have this quality in myself? And how could I practice more compassion for myself and my partner for this quality? Or if you find yourself envious of someone else, that would be an opportunity to slow down and check in, okay, what is this quality I'm envious of or admiring in someone else? Where do I also hold this, or where am I capable of holding this quality? And how might I take tangible actions towards creating more of that for myself? That is it for today. Short and sweet, but something I really wanted to talk more about. And if you are enjoying the podcast, then I would love to have you in the You Love and You Learn Patreon community. You get to ask me questions each month where I talk to the community and answer relationship questions, relationship anxiety questions. We've done 2 Q&As already, so those recordings are waiting for you in the community portal. There are also weekly community discussions where you get to share more about what you're experiencing in your relationship and get to hear from other people. Just today, I was checking in the Patreon community and there were a couple back and forth conversations with the members where they were sharing information or reminding someone that they weren't alone, and it was so beautiful to see. And also there are behind the scenes trainings into my life and relationship. So that is what you can expect right away when you join. You also get access to my webinar library, which is normally $108. You get 6 hours of video content right when you join. And all of this is just $7 a month. So this is absolutely the most no-brainer way to get support from me if you're looking for a little bit more outside of just the podcast and just on social media. So I would love to have you in the Patreon and hope to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening, and I will talk to you in the episode next week. Thank you so much for listening to the You Love and You Learn podcast. If you've been enjoying the podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could rate and review the podcast, because the more ratings and reviews there are,
the more people that can hear this message. And it's really important to me to get this message out to the world and to create a space where people can learn about love and relationships in a way that is not judgmental, in a way that helps them expand their perspective from the cultural narratives that we've heard and seen in the movies and in Hollywood and the media. And the more ratings and reviews that are there, the more people that can hear this message. So thank you again so much. It really means the world to me that you are listening, and see you in the next episode.